You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It is indeed, and this morning in the studio we've got Kate Kersey from the School of Population Health, the Faculty of Medical and Health Sciences here at the University of Auckland. Kia ora, Kate, how are you this morning?
Kia ora, I'm really well, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, pleasure to have you in here. Really interesting research that you've been doing into the relationship between women in Aotearoa, particularly between the ages of 35 and 54, and their relationship to alcohol. Tell us a wee bit about what sort of sparked this interest for you.
Sure. I just will just quickly clarify that I actually did this is my PhD research that I did through Victoria University down
in
Wellington.
Nice.
But I now work at the School of Population Health, kind of expanding on this and still working in this area. So that's kind of how I've ended up here. So what sparked my interest? Well, I'm a midlife woman myself, and I had my first couple of kids in Australia and in my kind of late 30s, and my first mother's group was at the pub. And I think I had this kind of idea that as we got older, we would stop drinking so much and become, you know, all mature. And that just didn't really happen. In fact, it kind of devolved to kind of having Chardonnays on, you know, Wednesdays after school with the kids. I do think I'm an okay parent. It's okay. Don't send the reinforcements out. So that was really what sparked my interest. But then I also have both a law degree and a public health degree, and so I was like, oh, just wait, we're all really free and easy with alcohol, but actually, you know, there's a lot of regulation around it, and people are saying more and more that women's drinking is a public health issue, so I was just really interested in it.
Yeah, that is a really interesting place to start. I mean, especially when it's something that you can sort of observe in your own life, when you try and then work out how it fits into a bigger picture is a fascinating place to kind of begin research from. What was your entry point into actually, you know, data collection and an understanding of what a kind of a population is doing?
So that's a great question, because everybody doing research has to answer that question. There was a lot of kind of already what we call quantitative research. So we knew that the trends were going up. We knew that women's drinking was certainly going up, and that in this age group it was going up. But the type of research I was really interested in is research that really gets some in-depth insights into what's going on. So my research was doing interviews and focus groups to talk to women about what the roles and functions are of alcohol in their life, and also to really start teasing out what those underpinning factors are that drive those roles and meanings, because they don't really occur in a vacuum.
No, totally. And what were some of the things you found? What were kind of the reasons for drinking and some of those bigger extrapolations?
Yeah, well, so I had three kind of main findings. And the first finding was that alcohol, that the woman saw alcohol as something that enhanced their lives. And that was very much something they did for sociability, you know, for celebrating, all those things that we understand. But what was really interesting and a very interesting finding was that women really enjoyed sitting at home having a glass of wine by themselves kind of at the end of the day, and not just to cope with life, but actually something that they actually enjoyed. One of my participants called it magic stuff, you know, sitting having that glass of wine at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And also that women are very interested in the tastes of alcohol and the different products and the different wines and the artisan gins and all these different products that I should say are marketed to us. But then there's also a group, and this kind of or was really like slid through them, all the different groups, you know, women would at different times have different kind of roles and functions. The other group was drinking to kind of enable their lives for their, just the really gendered demands of their roles and responsibilities, and especially when life's difficulties came up.
That's really interesting. It's interesting because that's two quite distinct, like there's quite a, you know, positive connotation on one and quite a negative on the other. The outcomes are maybe not necessarily parallel to those vibes per se, but you know, this is quite an interesting thing because we've, I think, for a long time talked to New Zealand about our relationship to alcohol not always being healthy, but not necessarily for all of these different demographics what it means. What are some of the potential health outcomes that we are seeing related to, I guess, this group's relationship to alcohol?
So I think we can divide them into the acute, the kind of immediate things that happen. And there was some research lately that it was actually older people that were coming in with the most alcohol-related issues into ED. So that's kind of really contrary to what we think. So that's that kind of immediate toxicity or what it might do to your body. But women actually metabolise alcohol differently than men. We've got more water in our body.
Mm-hmm.
And so we experience greater harms from drinking alcohol than men do for drinking the same amount. So the particular things that have become more and more striking, even over the course of doing my research, are the links with cancer. So even 6 standard drinks a week, and a standard drink is 100 mils. So, you know, generally...
Which is quite small, if you think about that.
Generally, a glass of wine poured at home might be 2 of those. So if you're having 6 standard drinks a week, your alcohol, your risk for breast cancer goes up by 11%.
Wow.
And if you get to 14 standard drinks a week, it's up almost 28%. Mm. So those are quite high numbers. Mm. And the Heart Foundation also put out a position statement last year saying there's no safe level of drinking for heart health either.
Yeah. It's really interesting, eh? Because, you know, there's those quite like those stark outcomes, and then there's the social relationship that we have to it, and it's very hard to navigate those two things. What do you see as being some of the kind of conversations perhaps that we need to be having to get to a, you know, I'm putting big quotes around safer drinking culture in this demographic?
Yes, I really love that. And a friend of mine has, I'll give you a bit of an example, because a friend of mine has given up recently, and she texted me the other day and she said, oh, I really feel like a drink. And I texted back and went, oh, go for a walk. And then I was like, just wait. You know, that's not the answer, really. Just go for a walk. That kind of makes it her responsibility.
Yeah.
And so I think the bigger conversations are, do you really need alcohol? Where has that messaging come from that is telling you that you need alcohol in almost every aspect of your life? Now, we know it's the alcohol companies. They saw women as an emerging market, you know, when they were getting more social and economic freedoms, and they were like, hey, this is great. You know, we've got men. We've already got them addicted. Well, not addicted, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
we've already got it completely embedded in their lives, so let's target women. So I think that we really need to challenge those messages that it is actually a necessary. We have to challenge the normalisation of drinking cultures. But we also have to challenge that the narrative that it really does make you feel better.
Mm.
Because, and you know, there's some really good podcasts out there that really describe what alcohol does to you physiologically. And while it might make you feel better at the time, you know, it is it's actually a depressant.
Yes.
So it relaxes you or gives you kind of a bit more of a euphoric feel, but you'll probably pay for that the next day. You'll feel tired the next day. And, you know, I'm not here to be a big wowser and say people shouldn't drink, because actually having fun and being social in life is really important. But I think that people should really look at the trade-offs that they might be making. Is it actually having a bit of an impact on your life? And just to challenge that idea that you have to have a drink, you know, and I think that's even more important, although women at midlife really face it as well, that peer pressure to drink.
Absolutely. Fascinating research. Kate, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with us about it. Kate Kersey from the School of Population Health at the University of Auckland. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.
Great. Thank you so much.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.